Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 130. Psalms 130. The psalmist confessed himself to be in a place that every regenerated sinner continually finds himself in the depths. In the depths. Now, when I say in the depths, what I'm talking about is in the depths of continually struggling with the presence of sin. A believer knows in whom he hath believed, and he rejoices in Christ Jesus, but he absolutely finds no confidence whatsoever in the flesh. He's continually struggling. And he says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Now, like I said, that is the continual cry of a believer's heart. He knows it. The Apostle Paul said the same thing in Romans chapter 7, in verse 23 and 24, about this struggle out of the depths. This is what he said. He said, I see another law in my members. Now, what he was talking about in the members, there he's talking about is that corrupt flesh. He's got an old nature. And he said, I see it. I see another law, and it's warring against the law of my mind, or that new nature. He's got a new nature and old nature. And he sees a battle going on. He said, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It holds me. I just can't get away from it. No matter how I try, I cannot not sin. I just can't do it. I don't want to. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, let me ask you, you that believe, in the words of John Newton, is it not so with you? Isn't that the way you see it? I mean, I know religion of this world proclaims that there's a kind of a universal high. You know, it's always on the mountaintop. And I will say this, I'm so thankful for those moments, and I mean it when I say this. It appears as though to me that every once in a while that the Lord has been pleased to grant me just a moment, a fleeting moment of being able to enter into a passage of Scripture where it just grips my heart and I'm just so taken up with it. It brings me to tears. I'm just so thankful for it. But those moments are just like that. They're just so fleeting. And then, seems like to me, for the rest of the time, I just stay in kind of a perpetual state of belief. But, oh, mixed with unbelief and just finding myself so lax and unconcerned and just, you know. Somebody said, well, my, that seems like it'd be a wretched state to be in. I'll admit it. Just a believer just stays in that place right there, out of the depths. I cried unto thee, O Lord. A believer needs to cry unto the Lord, who is the covenant God of grace and mercy, when he's realizing that the depths of affliction and conviction of his sin, the one that has ever loved me, that's the one I need to cry to. That's the one I long to that cry out, and the one died and put away the penalty of my sin, the one that sought me out when I'd have never sought him out. I didn't. He crossed my path without me seeking him. I know that for a fact. I didn't get up one day and just, you know, I think I'm going to seek the Lord today. I'm going to find him out. No, sir. He powerfully arrested me, convicted me, just like he did whenever Adam and Eve, they heard the voice of the Lord in the cool of the day and hid themselves. That they heard the voice and they hid themselves. The Lord called them. Adam, where are you? You know, I can hear the voice of the Lord in the cool of the day without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and I tell you what I'll do, I'll hide. But whenever God calls in effectual grace, mercy, and calls effectual, Adam, Marvin, Gary, where are you? Where are you? That's when I'll answer. He found me. I didn't find him. Didn't find him. And woven into every believer's need is that desire for the Lord to hear him. I need to call because I'm in the depths. Verse 2, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. I want you to notice, I've brought this out before. Look at that verse 1, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Oh, look how Lord is spelled there. He's calling to Jehovah. Look at verse 2. Look how that's written. That word there is Adonai. And actually it's a word, when you look at the definition of the word, actually it's a word, it's a plural word. It's a plural word setting forth the Godhead in his triunity, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Lord Jesus, you who the Father will hear, you who Jehovah will hear. For Jehovah to hear me, I need a priest. I need an advocate. I need for somebody to speak for me on my behalf, because he's not going to hear me. But Lord, he'll hear you. Jehovah, he'll hear you. Lord, hear my prayer. Hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Lord, don't turn from me. Lord, don't disregard my prayer. That's the cry of a needy sinner. Lord, I'm not worth hearing. I admit that. There's nothing in me that is worthy to be heard, worthy to be regarded. And here's the reason, verse 3, Lord, verse 3, if thou, Jehovah, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord Jesus, O my Adonai, my God, Jehovah, oh, but my God, Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who shall stand? Lord, if you should judge them, if you should observe them in that day, Lord, if you observe them right now, if you look on them right now, Lord, if you've ever looked on them, if you've ever regarded them against me, you who never changes, if you've ever marked them against me from all eternity, you who never changes are still marking them against me now because you don't change. You don't change in your attitude. You don't change it. You don't change at all. There's no shadow of turning with you. But Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, if those iniquities are charged against me, if you mark them in judgment and you bring them up, who can stand? Who can stand before you? Who can stand with any kind of hope before you? Malachi chapter 3. I'll read this. If you want to turn there, you can. Malachi, last book of the Bible. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 2. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he's like a refiner's fire, full of soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi, purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. But Lord, if you mark them, if you observe them, if you charge them to me, who can stand? A believer crying out of the depth of his need knows that in himself, I'm guilty. And no doubt about that. In myself, I'm guilty, and I know that in myself, I deserve punishment. I know that I stumble, I fail, I've fallen so many times, but Lord, you're the one that has sustained me. You're the one that lifts me up. But Lord, I know this. Also, you've been pleased to show mercy. I know that. I know that you've been pleased to show compassion to whomsoever you will. I know that. Lord, I'm crying to you out of the depths of some knowledge of what I am. I don't know the depth of what I am. If I knew the depth of what I am really in myself, I'd go nuts. I couldn't stand the very thought of myself. But the little bit that I do know, Lord, I'm asking you to hear me. Lord, I'm admitting that if you mark them, if you charge them, I can't stand before you. But Lord, verse 4, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Lord, I know that there's pardon. I know there is. With you that's found toward a people of your choice, and I know that your forgiveness and your pardon is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ according to your everlasting covenant of grace. I know this. God is sovereign. I know he is. I know he's sovereign in creation. He's sovereign in providence. He's sovereign in salvation. He's sovereign. He rules the army of heaven, inhabitants of the earth. Nobody has any right to question him. He doesn't owe anybody an explanation. He's God. I know that. I know that he's going to save or he's going to condemn according to his will and purpose. I know that. I know he is. And I do know that he has ordained that there's a people that he's going to save. And I know this, that those people he has ordained, we're not fatalistic. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that God's people are not fatalistic. The world is, and this is what I mean. When I read something like in Romans chapter 9, and I behold the surety of God's sovereignty, the scripture says in Romans 9:17 following, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, whom he will he hardeneth. Now what did I just say? I just said that God has the right. God has the right to show mercy and save a man, save a woman. And he has the right to harden a man. Leave him to himself is all he's doing. He just left him to himself. He told Pharaoh, he said, for this purpose, I raised you up and left you to yourself. to show my power, show my right of judgment. But then the Spirit of God moved upon Paul to write this, verse 19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Now that's fatalism. What he's saying is, well, look, now, since God is going to do what God wants to do anyway, and I don't have any say in the matter. God's sovereign. He's going to save, or he's going to be condemned, or he's going to condemn. It's obviously then it doesn't really matter what a man does. Well, that might sound real good right now, but let me say this. God has also set forth the means through which he's going to show mercy. He's going to put a man, a woman, he's going to put them under the sound of the gospel. The message that does declare that God is sovereign in creation, providence, and salvation. And God is going to have mercy on whom he'll have mercy. And he also said this in Ezekiel chapter 36 concerning what he said he would do for his people. He said also that he's ordained that God's people, that they're going to call on him. Now, you leave a man or woman to themselves and they're not going to call on the Lord. But the Lord said in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 37, he said concerning everything I'm going to do for my people. He said, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. God is ordained. He's going to have mercy or compassion. He's going to harden according to his will. And I don't know. I don't know who the Lord's going to say. I don't. I pray God have mercy on me. But I can tell you this. If a man or woman doesn't call upon the name of the Lord, they're not going to be saved. The Lord's going to have to give them a new heart to call. But to just say this, well, it's all in the hands of God, so I'm just not going to worry about it. You're going to perish. I can tell you right now. What would you advise that I do? Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that you might be feared, that you might be reverenced. God's people are not fatalistic. They're not going to just say, well, whatever's going to be, will be. What are they going to do? They're going to call on the Lord by the grace of God. I realize it didn't come from them. I know that. You know that too. But I'm telling you, they are not going to stand by and just say, well, it doesn't really matter. They know better than that. There's forgiveness with thee. Psalm 86:5 says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Oh, when God gives a man or woman a heart to call on him, not to look to anything they've done or can do or something. I need mercy. I need for God to save me. I need God to forgive me. Somebody say, well, I thought you said he was going to do what he's going to do. He is going to do that. But I need him to save me. I need him to have mercy on me. There's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Not the terror, not that kind of fear, but rather the forgiveness of sin and the application of that forgiveness to the sinner's understanding brings reverence and worship. It gives a longing to follow after the Lord. I want to follow him. What do you mean follow after the Lord? I want to hear his word. I want to read his scriptures. I want to have his scriptures explained to me. Explain this to me. Tell me what it means. Tell me what those words mean. I want to follow him. I want to call on him in prayer. I want to get somewhere in my closet and meet with Him. Call on Him. Lord, You said. You said. Lord, You said. I call on You in secret. Now, Lord, this is the most secret way I know to call. I don't know any other way to do it. But Lord, You said You'd hear and You'd reward me openly. And Lord, whatever that means, I'm thankful for that. Whatever the open reward is, but I know You're guiding me and directing me. Lord, I need You. I need You. I don't need a doctrine. I believe in 5 points of Calvinism. I believe in total depravity. I believe in that. And I believe I'm totally depraved. I believe in unconditional election. I need for God to elect me. That's what I don't want to just look to a doctor. I want to know when he died for me. I want to know. When Christ died at the cross, I believe that He died with my name on His heart. That's the difference, you know. You just say, well, Christ died for His people. Well, yeah, but that's just kind of a broad shot there. I want to know, David, that He died for me. That Marvin Stoniker was on His heart. This is personal. This is real. Look at 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Here's the psalmist is admitting from the depth of his heart sorrow and conviction. I've hit bottom. I've hit bottom. I'm as low. I don't know. I there's no other place for me to go. And I need for the Lord to minister to me. I'm waiting for the Lord. I'm waiting for Him to help me. What do you mean waiting on the Lord? I'm looking patiently by faith. Lord, I'm looking to You. You who order all things after the counsel of Your own will. You that said you'll never leave, you'll never forsake Your people. My soul waiteth. I mean, out of the depths of my being, my heart is desperate for Him. I wait for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I've told you this before, but it made such an impression on me. I've never forgotten it. I wait for them more than they that watch for the morning. You know, I've always said this, it's always worse at night. Whatever it is, it's always worse at night. It's always I wake up and I start thinking about something, and you know, I can talk to myself, tell myself, well, you don't have, I mean, you know, just get that off your mind. Oh, that's good advice, you know, if I could do it. That's my problem. It's always worse at night, but I told you about my buddy that I knew and had just dear friend in Louisiana, central Louisiana. And when he got back from Vietnam, he was telling me one day he was he'd gotten out of college, a lawyer, a very successful lawyer now. But he told me, he said, Marvin, I'll never forget. He said, man, they would put me in that guard post on the perimeter. And he said, and we knew that the enemy was out there. And he said, you're out there in that little old hut. And he said, you know they can see you. And he said, you're standing guard. And he said, oh, I just think if it would just get morning. And he said, when I see that sun coming up, he said, I think, oh, I'm so glad. He says, nothing like being out there in the loneliness of a jungle. And he said, I just wish the morning would come. David said, my soul, verse 6, waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. The Lord sets forth to his people. He said, I'm the Lord. I'm your hope. And the believer says unto the Lord, Lord, my soul waits for you. You are my hope. Now, verse 7. Here's the comfort from God's Spirit. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Let Israel, the God of electing, redeeming, and regenerating grace, let true Israel. Now, I know he's not talking about all of natural Israel. You know that. But let Israel, let those Jacobs. Remember when Jacob had his name changed to Israel? The Lord asked him, he was wrestling. What's your name? Jacob. No more. You're a prince with God. Let those Jacobs who have been made by the grace of God to be Israel's with God. Let the people of God's everlasting love, those chosen vessels of God's mercy, let them be patient, waiting for the Lord to work all things after the counsel of his own will. Let Israel have her hope, her confidence, her assurance in Jehovah. For with the Lord there is mercy. There is plenteous redemption. There's an overabundance, sufficiency. His word's not going to return void. It's going to accomplish the purpose. There's plenteous redemption. He's not going to withhold anything from his people. All of his spiritual Israel, there's a continual, heaped up, abundant deliverance crying to him. Let your hope be in him, for he will, for the sake of his son who bought you, who stood for you, who redeemed you by his blood, what he's done. He bought you off the slave market. The one that we read back in Lamentations, he bore all of that. Bore that. He's the man that's seen the rod of God's affliction. Most writers always relate that to Jeremiah. And like I said, I don't doubt for one second Jeremiah grieved over what he saw. But nobody has ever borne the affliction of God's Christ. Nobody bore it alone. And Scripture says now, you let Israel, let spiritual Israel have her confidence in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy. There's mercy. There's mercy for us because mercy was not shown him. Wasn't shown him. He said he set me as a mark with his arrows. I cried, he wouldn't hear me. He hedged me in and wouldn't let me out. Oh, what he's done for us. What he's have hope. Verse 8, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. That's the precious promise that I want to hear. I love that word right there. All. I've said this before. Nobody knows anybody like a person kind of knows himself. And I'm thinking, Lord, that you would forgive me for all, because I got some that I'd rather not bring up. I'd rather not anybody ever know. Thoughts, yeah. Actions, yeah. Just attitudes, yeah. That, what's he going to do? Well, number one, he shall. I know that means that there's no possibility that he's going to fail to do what he said. But now what did he say he was going to do? He shall redeem Israel. He shall redeem his bride, the church, God's elect. He shall redeem. And that from which he shall redeem Israel, what is it? All his iniquities. All of our pollution. All of the power and dominion of sin. and soon the very presence of it. Oh, let Israel hope in the Lord. The spiritual Israel knows what she is. She knows what she is. She's not in a bargaining position. God's people we don't have any bargaining chips. We are, apart from Him, totally, totally iniquity, sin. But with the Lord, there's forgiveness. What do? Out of the depths, call upon Him. If the Lord's given a man, a woman, a heart to call, they'll call. They will. They will. That He might be glorified and honored and praised in the ages to come. I pray that He have mercy on us today. I pray He have mercy on me. I need it. I know you that know Him do too. For His glory and our good.